On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Could be a bad situation for a lot of people.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. This is season 7, episode 8, The World According to Matt. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us. We want to tell you before we get into this episode, which is not the season 7 premiere, although it sure seems like one, and we'll talk about it. We want to tell you what's happening on the Patreon this week. Again with this, episode 156, dropping August 25th, is going to be Let's Watch Christine Belford in the ABC After School Specials episode, The Day My Kid Went Punk. This was season 16, episode 3. It is on YouTube. We will link it in the show notes. It's a time.
Four words for you. Young Republican Craig Bierko.
Thank you. That's a great teaser. So if you want to get that plus all of the archives, go to againwiththispodcast.com/club. Sign up. Get that. Get so much. Ad-free episodes. Access to our Discord server, et cetera, et cetera. There's good stuff. And you should have some.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this episode. It's been a minute since we've had an undividable episode, and yet this is it. We have an A plot, mm-hmm. and that's it. Matt dies off screen, but all the gossip he collected lives on. The retconning in this is enough to make your head spin.
Oh my God. If you could stay awake, which is a big if, we're going to help you. It's going to be fine.
So we open in medias res, Jane calling from her new Volkswagen Beetle, which was a big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm. With the bud vase, remember?
Mm-hmm. My sister had one. Mm. She calls from the car to tell Michael she's going to be late for Matt's dinner because of an accident. And Michael, who has had a tan and a haircut since we saw him last.
Oh my God, all the tans.
Yeah, he's not the only one. Almost immediately changes the subject to Taylor because he's been thinking of hiring a PI to find her and the baby, he says, although I think if he finds the baby's probably nearby. Jane tries to dissuade him, but Michael Jr. is his baby too, and he accuses Jane of being happy the baby's gone, which if so, I don't blame her, but Jane cheerfully shrugs that Michael's going to do
baby?
What he wants. Seriously.
She's like, oh, you mean Taylor? Yeah, fuck her. You know.
Jane says Michael's going to do what he wants no matter what Jane says, besides which she wants to get pregnant herself, and then she hangs up so she can roll past the crashed car. Mm-hmm. And then we're at Kyle's, where Lexi and her new lowlights are drunkenly pontificating at Megan. Clip 2.
Everyone in this hypocritical, sanctimonious world is out to drown you, rip your legs off, pull you under, and make you feel like you're worthless. If you're gonna stay afloat, you have to be the toughest shark in the sea. Gotta bite first, fast, and often, and kill the scum suckers before they know it hit.
I don't know. Whatever Coop did.
Honey, he's the least of your problems right now. The whole world is out to get us.
Well, maybe, but you know, when I've got a man in my life, it...
Honey, the last thing you need right now is another man in your life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, nothing she said before that made any fucking sense. I really feel like the writers were just like, it's all, she's going to render it just like boring garbage because that's what Jamie Lunar does. So let's just mix every metaphor from the sea. But then, you know, much like Jez, Strong first 8 bars, strong last 8 bars. That's all you need. Strong close. Like, the last thing you need is another man in your life. Correct.
Yeah.
The two of you need to make out.
Yep.
Get started. Hello. Yes.
Give us a reason to care about either of you. That is not necessarily enough on its own, but like, it's a start.
Yeah, we'll, yeah, we're listening.
So that's when Peter walks in looking like a hot dad. You can see him in his good jeans and his polo shirt and official legs. And Lexi sneers about it before heading out. Clip 3.
Lexi, love the hair.
Didn't do it for you.
Okay. Jeez.
Okay. No one asked.
No. Peter, Kyle, and Amanda gather at the table for Matt's dinner while Megan teeters over and slurs at an also quite tan Kyle that she's taking the night off. And he helps her into her seat. She flirts that it's too bad he's taken, and Amanda's totally unbothered because it's Megan and who cares? Who would be threatened? Not she. Peter reminds us all about Coop leaving town. Megan sighs that men leaving is the story of her life and then demands to know where Matt is anyway. And we get this, clip 4.
Yeah, that Matt, he's always on time, isn't he? I mean, always right, too, Matt. It's like having your conscience right in front of you. Not that that's such a great thing.
What are you improvising what? Again? Stop it. But what was any of that?
That Matt, he's always on time. Like, what?
Yeah, is he? I don't remember any of his attributes, to be completely honest, and I don't think you do either. Anyway,
when last seen, he was giving a warm hug to a clock. Okay.
Jane and her even mumsier hair arrive just then. She says she has a great story about Matt. It's a black and white flashback to season 1 when Jane had a pregnancy loss and she and Matt walked on the beach making grand pronouncements about their generation while Jane obliviously talked about how lucky she was never to have known anyone who died, which she would definitely make up for lost time in the years ahead. Not enough to come back for when her sister's funeral, for example. But anyway, they were cute, as you can see in the visual aids as well. Aww. And here's fucking drunk Megan's takeaway, clip 5.
Truth is, the only good men are gay men.
Ugh. You're one of those, of course. Someone please pour her dumb ass in a cab. She's going to be no help at this dinner. So then Amanda gets a call at the bar from Michael. He's not going to make it to the party, and neither is Matt, because he was killed in a car crash. And Amanda has to tell the others. And I know Amanda is Heather Locklear, but like, why Michael wouldn't tell Jane to tell everyone that's his girlfriend? But it's weird. Unless it is because Michael assumed Amanda would have the softer touch passing on the news. Clip 6.
Hey, what is it? What's wrong?
It's Matt. He's dead.
Okay.
not gonna ask for a second take there, Loxy. All right.
No. Time is money.
Are you happy now, Dad? She's dead. Okay, thank you. National Lampoon's Heather Locklear.
And then it's the opening credits. There's a bunch of new shots. Josie Bassett returns. We get to see Kelly Rutherford and Lex and Jamie Lunar's new hairs. And what the hell is a John Hames Newton? Well, we'll find out before the episode is out, so keep watching. And then after the opening credits, we see there is a special musical guest, and it is Sean Lennon. Like, of all random randoms. Really? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So.
It's not pleasing, you're going to hear.
Well, yes, we might have a fight, but then we're with Amanda as she wanders happily around the beach in a white sundress. Except she's actually in Peter's fantasy, which he is describing to Dr. Visconti. It's a recurring dream he's been having about her. In this dream, there are extras, by the way, as you can see in the visual aids. Like, they couldn't block off the entire beach, I suppose, for this. Dr. V tells him to move on. Peter bites his head off, then lowers his voice to say Matt's death has made Peter take stock of his own life for these, I assume, 11 hours since he found out. And Dr. V basically says Peter and Amanda are just trauma bonded from the whole kidnapping thing. Peter insists that Amanda still loves him, and Dr. V curtly says that's only in his dreams. Wah, wah. Over the beach house, Michael recounts calling Mrs. Fielding to tell her about Matt's death. And the last we saw her, she was a real bitch, so she might not have actually cared that much.
Yeah, saying. Seriously.
When Michael asks, Jane confirms that she really meant it when she said she wanted them to get pregnant, so he says they should do it. But first, he asks her to marry him again, this time forever, and she accepts. And he says, six is his lucky number, and I don't know if I would have been able to count all six, but I trust that he knows how many weddings he has actually had. Back at the hospital, good old nurse Amy tells Peter that Mr. Beck and Amanda are both waiting for him in his office and looks at him disgustedly as he takes off to go and make sure they're not saying anything they shouldn't. But when he enters, they're just casually chatting. Amanda offers to reschedule her lunch with Peter, but Mr. Beck is just dropping off the papers Peter wanted returned. And when he's gone, Amanda says they should hurry up and eat because she's been working overtime to make back that ransom money, just as Peter opens the briefcase and sees it's all in there and then is like, okay, just got to file these. Okay, good to go. Over to the jazz club, where a bunch of construction is underway, clip 7.
Charlie, I didn't okay all this work.
Who's in the bid?
Okay, let me put it another way. I can't pay for all this work.
That's your problem. I need a check by the end of the day.
Hey, Kyle. I like what you're doing with the place. If I was going to change anything, honey, I'd start the music.
Agree!
Yeah, batting 1,000 there, Lexi. What kind of dumbass contractor just starts work that he hasn't been paid for yet? Like, yeah. Did he put a deposit down or not? No? Mm-hmm. Then why are you even there?
Mm-mm. Not how any of that works.
Annoying.
Lexi makes a beeline for the bar to tell Megan that her fake company is finally out of danger and she's been thinking of taking it in a new direction. But the old direction was so...
Direction-y.
Anyway. Clip 8.
Adding advertising to the mix.
Advertising, huh?
Yeah. That's what I used to do before I married Coop and settled for the boring existence of a neglected doctor's wife. Anyway, that aside, I started thinking that you and I would make a fabulous team.
We have never heard one single goddamn thing about her ever having been in advertising. She was a fake interior designer, I thought.
Yeah. And also a horse girl.
Right. Who couldn't swim?
And now we're going to have another horse girl. Spoiler.
Like, spoiler.
Whatever. Okay. Like, why does everyone have to do advertising? No one does it well. Why do we need more people doing it badly?
Yeah.
Nobody cares anymore is why.
Right. But also, again, I must ask, is Lexi trying to fuck Megan, or is just this the only mode that Jamie Lunar can work in? Because it's very one note, and yet if it's not going to pay off, like, stop. But anyway, Megan laughs her off, as do we all, when Lexi suggests that Megan could help make this venture a success because she worked for Eric Baines for 36 hours last year. But Lexi's not going to give up, enlisting Kyle to help convince Megan, and even Kyle's like, you might as well. This place is circling the drain. Clip 9.
You know what? If I have learned anything lately, it's that money is not important. Love is.
So I'm a Coop?
I think Coop was just a way to avoid Michael. You know, Michael's the one that saved my life, the one I lost. No jobs can replace him.
What?
Since when? What the fuck? Like... She was crying about Coop yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am. Ugh.
Ugh.
Over to the Fielding residence, where Amanda introduces herself to Mrs. Fielding and offers her condolences. Mrs. Fielding is already closing the door when Amanda stops her. And clip 10.
If it's all right, we'd like to come to the funeral.
No, it's not all right. The services are for family only.
Oh, I understand, but in a way, we were Matt's family, too.
I have something for you. They found it in his car. It's a... kind of journal he kept. It's all about you and your friends. Nothing about his family, of course. At any rate, keep it.
Does Matt not have a ward? Wasn't that the whole reason he left the show, that he was looking after his niece?
Yeah.
We're not going to hear about her either, I guess.
No. Or his sister-in-law. I mean, the actor playing his mother is actually really good at that sort of passive-aggressive, like, nothing about his family, of course. But, like, first of all, Matt absolutely would have journaled about his family. Mm-hmm. And second of all, don't bring your gurnal in the car. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Also, bedside table, bro. Is it your first day?
Yes. And furthermore, so like, the more we hear about it, the more it seems like what he wrote in his journal, and the reason they probably had to have her say it's a kind of journal, is that he only is ever writing about everyone else. Like, even in death, or even in this plot device, Matt has no inner life. Like, he's not trying to think about his own issues. He is only writing down gossip, which, like, I respect it, but
XOXO Fielding. Okay.
So, in the very next scene, night has fallen. Amanda's on the couch, chortling at Matt's scandalous diary. She just can't believe the things people told him. Kyle doesn't have time to enjoy it because he's staring at poverty. On top of everything else, Taylor's lawyer also sent a letter demanding the buyout money that they agreed on. And Amanda's sorry, but despite all of his bitching, Kyle doesn't want her to apologize. He is just hoping the cops will do their jobs, LOL, and then they'll get their money back from the culprits of her kidnapping. And Amanda, clip 11.
In the meantime, I have a way to cheer you up. Want to hear Michael's secret?
I'll pass.
Well, what about a Taylor secret about Peter?
I know more secrets about Taylor than I care to know.
You're right. It's just what she said to Matt and his analysis of it. You know what I was thinking? Maybe Peter needs another woman to focus on.
Peter? What, is he hassling you again?
Oh, no, just the opposite. He's been terrific. I mean, we even had lunch today. It's just, he's still so intense.
Yeah, well, I got a way to take care of that.
Why? When Lexi can do it. Oh, she's perfect for him. If only they could find their way back to each other.
No, 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 no.
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 That's the wrong ex. No. Yep. No. Mm-mm. Mm. She doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. Nobody wants it. Stop saying it. Mm-hmm. So when Kyle goes to take a shower, Amanda flips a few more pages and gasps as we get black and white footage of someone in a varsity jacket getting pushed from a great height. And Amanda tears out the page and hides it in one of her books. Good thing for her, Kyle's not a reader, or not usually, because after the commercials, it's the next morning and Kyle is devouring Matt's diary himself. Amanda comes out and apologizes for trying to distract Kyle with it the previous night before seeing he has also fallen under its spell to a knuckle-biting degree, as you can see.
Oh, my God. So cheesy.
More than once, like when he's sitting and then later when he gets up, it's like, dude, come on. Anyway, hilariously, he is only skimming for his own name. Clip 12.
I have to say, you're the last person I expected to find in there.
Yeah. I definitely should have said something.
A flesh and blood brother, and you never even mentioned him? Yeah, you could have said something. More important, why didn't you?
Because it was a disaster. But now that I think about it, almost everything Taylor was involved with ended up that way.
So, first of all, true. Second, we smash into black and white footage of Kyle greeting this brother he suddenly has, whose name we'll eventually learn is Ryan, with a punch to the face when Kyle demands to hear that he admit he actually slept with Taylor. Ryan says what actually happened was they got drunk. Taylor was upset about some problem they were having with a waitress, presumably Jennifer. And then Taylor took off her clothes and made a pass at Ryan. And Ryan said he would never do that to Kyle, and he left, and he didn't volunteer any of this to Kyle before because he didn't want to embarrass him. Clip 13.
You made a tramp, bro.
Okay.
Wow.
I didn't want to embarrass you. I will now, though.
Sure.
Kyle fake laughs before briefly telling Ryan he doesn't have a brother anymore. So I know we never heard about this guy before because they just made him up. But given how Taylor is, it's not credible that she would not bring all of this up every time she and Kyle fought about anything.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So back in color, Amanda says that Ryan was probably telling the truth because Taylor is a huge liar, but Kyle says that is all ancient history. But Amanda doesn't think it is, given the way he just told that story. And after the way he accused Ryan, Kyle wouldn't know what to say to him now. But nothing stays buried forever. Matt and his diary have taught everyone that. And at the practice, Michael's frantically telling Peter about the diary and that Mrs. Fielding told him Amanda has it, which is very alarming news for Peter. Michael can't remember what kind of shit he told Matt that might be in there. Oh, we're about to find out. Over to the agency. Amanda has summoned Lexi to suggest the two of them be allies. Lexi calmly accuses Amanda of stealing Peter when Amanda already had Kyle, but Amanda says she doesn't want Peter and also thinks Lexi is the right woman for him and that she will do anything to help Lexi and Peter get back together. And there's more Lexi's completely incomprehensible dialogue in clip 14.
I see. Yeah, you've been wiggling your little victim act around so much you've attracted too many flies, huh? You're looking for some sucker to swat one away from you. But you can forget it. I'm not in the bug business. And honey, I choose my lovers. And I got plenty of suitors.
Well, I better watch myself when I'm around you. I wouldn't want to get caught in the stampede of eligible bachelors.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, lady, why don't you do us all a favor and get another helicopter crash or kidnapped?
Hmm? You know, Lexi, when I look at you, all I see is a bitter woman incapable of love.
Hmm. Amanda, it's not me you're seeing. That's your own reflection.
Goo?
It's just like all over the map. You've been wiggling your victim act around, like...
Yeah, and then there's like
wiggled,
and I'm not in the bug business. This is just like Abram Zucker noir.
Yes, it is.
But she has no aptitude for either the real thing or a parody of it, and mm-hmm. So it's really kind of sad, especially when she is in a scene with Amanda and trying to own Amanda, and Amanda's like, like could not care any less if she were dead.
Yep. So when Lexi stalks out with Amanda soon behind, Michael is there to run straight at Amanda, babbling about the diary. Amanda is amused by Michael's panic, and then Peter is on her other side, also demanding her time. But Michael gets into the elevator with her alone, and Peter gets mad at the door, which you can see in the visual aids. While Peter takes the stairs, Michael accuses Amanda of a shakedown, but Amanda chirps that if Michael wants to know what Matt said about him, she can just tell him. Clip 15.
Matt wrote all about how the two of you first met back in Chicago when you're both working at the same club.
No, he didn't. Well, you know, I was a starving medical student, you know, desperate for money.
He mentioned that. And a certain nickname, I believe. What was that again?
Oh. And now, ladies, it's time for a resident favorite. Hot and hunky and ready for your adoration. A big welcome for the Long Ranger.
I am so happy that they found a way to incorporate Thomas Calabro's background in exotic dance and that we get to see it. And you better believe every second was gift by me. This is a great time to remind all of you that Lady Killers, in which he plays a cop going undercover as an exotic dancer, is on YouTube. You should watch it and then listen to us talk about it on the Patreon. Both of those links are in the show notes. You can hear a little bit of it, but he's dancing to Addicted to Love, and I think it is the real one.
I think it is, too.
I think they just couldn't cut around it, and that's why it's still here, amazingly.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not the real one, it's an excellent fake, so good job.
Absolutely. Back in the present, clip 16.
That was humiliating. I hated every second of that.
No, you didn't. You loved it.
No, you didn't. You loved it. As you should have. You were great at it.
Uh-huh. I loved it anyway. Even if you did hate it, I love it enough for both of us. But I will also say, if Michael and Matt met when they both worked there, that means we should also be seeing footage of Matt dancing, and I know why we aren't, but it is cruel.
Mm, it is.
Michael begs Amanda to destroy the diary and tell no one what she read. Clip 17.
I mean, if someone found out I was a male stripper dancing to Addicted to Love, oh my God.
Because, yes, that's when they run straight into Peter, who calls Michael a dirty little man. Amanda's not talking about it, but Peter says if she told Michael his stuff, she has to tell Peter his. But there's not one word about Peter in the diary, she claims. And Michael thinks he got lucky. Peter thinks Amanda's lying. And then, clip 18.
She sure caught you with your pants down, hmm? Tiger? Might as well face it, you're addicted to love.
don't tease. Let's see what you have in the way of moves, because I bet they're pretty
Seriously.
Good.
Bump Popstar and man. Or grind. Thank you.
Exactly. Later, Michael finds Megan at the jazz club, which is not in fact playing jazz, so maybe Kyle took Lexi's good note. Megan pulls Michael into Kyle's office so she can pour them some of Kyle's private scotch and take forever to remind Michael how much he was trying to get back together with her and how Megan kept pushing him away out of pride, also because she was seeing someone else that she was engaged to. Anyway, that was all before Jane came back to town. Not that she mentions that part either. Megan couldn't accept that Michael loved her, but in the wake of Matt's death, she's aware of how important lasting relationships are and what love means, and she needs him. And as she comes on to him, Michael nervously pulls away and tells her how bad her timing is. Clip 19.
You mean Jane?
Yeah.
She's just a substitute.
Okay, I'm not Jane's biggest fan, but if anyone is a substitute for anyone, it's like the other way around. Quite clearly.
Yeah. I mean, everyone here is like, never mind substitute. It's like fourth generation photocopy. So shut up, Megan. Although Megan is like a garden of fascinating delights compared to Lexi.
Yeah.
Sigh.
So Megan tries again to kiss Michael, but he leaps away. Clip 20.
I'm engaged. I'm going to marry Jane. You know, she was my first love. My one love.
And I was the substitute.
Yeah, like I fucking said.
Yeah. Also, you were purchased by one of his late wives.
Yeah.
To be a substitute for her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Everyone shut up. This season is so bizarre already.
It really is. So Michael just says substitute was her word, and he's sorry, and so is she. And back at the complex, Peter is about to put in a load of laundry, LOL.
LOL.
When he hears Amanda and Kyle downstairs talking about the diary and stops to eavesdrop, because it turns out Kyle didn't only read the stuff about himself. Clip 21.
So I once discussed my feelings for Peter with Matt. That was long before I met you, and you know what? I would have mentioned it had I known it mattered. Oh, you take it with you everywhere?
Not everywhere. Right here. It's right here. Amanda realizes that she will always be connected to Peter. That there is something dark in him that binds him to her the way no other man has or ever will.
That was long before you came along. You know what? Sometimes I'm glad you worry. Shows how much you love me.
Oh, I don't know. That's the takeaway. Okay.
No. I think the takeaway actually is that you should get back together with Peter, but here we all are in the bell jar, or the Kyle jar, I guess.
So Amanda asks if there's anything else that bothers him, and Kyle shows her the spot where she ripped out that page. And Amanda, lying better than people usually do on TV, shrugs that Matt probably did it, or maybe his mother, but then is like, you think I did it? And Kyle says he doesn't, unless she says she did, and she lies that she didn't, and that's the end of it, except for Peter creepily drifting out of the doorway as they kiss.
On the hunt for lost ROI, chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
The next morning, Michael is getting ready for work when he hears Addicted to Love start up in the next room and comes out to see Jane in a cowboy hat, clowning around and doing some of his classic moves, which, like, it is so early for all of this. Let a man go to work, for Christ's sake. Obviously, Jane heard about this from Amanda, and Michael's frantic denials are totally ineffective as she reminds him they were going to be honest this time. So Michael, defeated, bellows that he was just a stripper at the stud factory in Chicago before they got married. You know, she should be more concerned that he was able to keep her in the dark about this when they were presumably already living together. But when Michael tries to leave, Jane says she won't be happy until he gives her a private dance. And I find myself agreeing with her, but then they cut away when he's still just unbuttoning his shirt. Rip off.
Boo.
Boo. This episode needed to replace every Lexi scene with a Michael stripping scene. I am not a crackpot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Give me a Peter stripping scene.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Equal time.
Yes, that's fair. Over to the complex, where Amanda stops on her way out to work to tell Peter she lied about his coverage in the diary and hands it to him with the page marked clip 22.
Late one night, Peter filled me in on the year after his arrest. He'd lost his license. He was in jail. His life was a mess until some judge agreed to spring him. But there was a price.
Before Mr. Beck gets back, I want this settled. The problem, Doctor, is that no one will operate on Mr. Beck. They all say his heart is too weak. He'd never survive surgery. Judge Smith owed us a favor, though, and agreed to release you from jail.
You want me to operate on him here? In his home?
We'll get you whatever equipment you need.
What if I'm not able to save him? Hate to be blunt, but chances are he's not going to make it.
Mr. Beck didn't get where he is by betting on the wrong horse. You'll save him. He'll owe you his life. And believe me, Doctor, he's a good friend to have.
I mean, we've seen the evidence. He's like a medium friend to have at best. Like, he couldn't even call off his own kidnapping scheme. My God.
Yeah.
Back in the present, Amanda says she knows Peter would be fucked if it ever came out that he performed surgery without a license. As if there's any enforcement.
And under what name and a question mark?
Like, right. Yes.
I really don't think this is law enforcement's biggest issue with you, or even the third biggest at any given time, but sure.
Yeah. Point is, she will never say anything about it. Starting to flip pages, he wonders what other dirt is in it, but Amanda takes it back and leaves, denying when he asks that there's anything in there about her because she was never dumb enough to tell Matt anything. Plus, she doesn't have any secrets. Peter doesn't believe her and says so, and she looks worried, but then just leaves. And on the beach that night, Jane and Michael have margaritas next to a small bonfire. She has a memory she would like to share with him, which Matt, of course, wrote about in his diary. Does Michael remember? Brand new character alert, Alex Bastion. Michael exposits that he and Jane were good friends before Jane and Michael got engaged. And Jane's like, well, also after that, including on the night before we got married and we're celebrating our senior show, which, like, your senior show was the night before you got married.
Yeah, maybe reschedule one of those. Dumbass.
So then we're in a black and white flashback, and where they are is 100% the studio that she had in the Chris era.
It absolutely is.
You can see absolutely. It's still got like the New York street, you know, like backdrop on the other side of the
so
windows.
Dumb.
It's really idiotic. Anyway.
Yeah.
Surprise. Alex has always been in love with Jane and was always afraid to say anything, just like she's afraid to marry Michael, he believes. And when she denies it, he claims her eyes glaze over whenever she mentions the wedding, which, like, well, it's tomorrow and tonight was her senior show, so maybe she's a little stressed. But Alex insists she's afraid Michael is a mistake and that she shouldn't shut all the other doors in her life. And then we see them kiss before smashing back to the present as Michael yells at her for sleeping with Alex and doesn't care that it was just that much time as a goodbye. Yell some more and then orders her to sleep on the couch. And it's like, bro, have you seen this guy? Because he's not cute. Like, you're fine.
No. No, it's like, and they look too much alike. Like, they have the same hair. Mm-hmm. He is so boring. He's a worse actor than Jamie Luner. And I do not say that lightly. Like, where did you find a blonde, like, the Andrew Shue that was a like, Gunnar Nelson with a haircut? Like, how... Is that how you advertised it in backstage? That's crazy. Interesting.
For our sister podcast, Extra Hot Great, we recently did a deep dive on a compilation of TV commercials from 1988, and one of them was for Hormel, and one of their brands is like Ham 814 or something, and that's what this guy's head looks like. He is a Hormel 814 with hair. Okay, sure. Cure 81. He's a Cure 81 with blonde hair. I stand by it, either whatever the number is. You can see him in the visual aids. He looks like a turd.
He's a ham head.
He's a ham head. He's got ham head.
Ham head.
The next morning, Michael's still pissed on the deck, having locked Jane out of the bedroom the night before. He is not mollified by her reminding him how long ago her infidelity was, nor by her whining that she loves him. He loves her too. He just can't trust her right now. And finally, she's like, okay, wait a second. Clip 23.
Why are you giving me a lecture on morality? You, of all people, the man who slept with my sister and anyone else who wiggled their rear within 5 feet of you.
Look, Jane, if you're trying to make any logic of this, you're crazy, okay? Well, you told me last night it hurt me. It hurt me a lot. And that's all I know. At this moment.
Fair.
Yeah, I mean, if she willingly... I mean,
at least he admits he's being a hypocrite. Okay.
Right.
Move it along.
Yes. And it's not like she can say she didn't know all of that before she agreed to marry him again.
Yeah.
Over to the Jazz Club, where, as promised, Sean Lennon is being promoted outside and doing a sound check inside. And I guess the construction is over because they're not trying to compete with the Saws. Peter comes in looking for his credit card. Kyle snits that he probably wants a look at the diary, too. Peter smoothly says he's already gotten the look, and Amanda says she figured she would go to him before he came to her. Kyle guesses the missing page is about Peter, who is intrigued, but Amanda cuts off the conversation, telling Peter he is abusing the privilege of their friendship. She is not letting anything come between her and Kyle, and when Peter has left, Amanda asks if that's what Kyle wanted to hear. But he didn't need to hear it, he says. Peter did. Well, Amanda meant it. And then clip 24.
When I first found love, it's when I felt your touch. But there's so much more I want to say. We need to keep it real, sharing what we feel. Together we can face tomorrow.
Go ahead.
No. Just no. I mean, I don't dislike Sean Lennon's music, but this singing clip is bad, and he should have not allowed it to air. But apparently you don't agree with that. I will give him credit. He looks like he knows he's getting away with murder in some fashion. Totally. Like, the appearance fee must have been gigantic, because this was like the peak of like Lennon/Chibo Matto hipster culture.
Yes.
Like, which, great. I like all that stuff. I'm glad that it wasn't jazz, but this particular sequence was unflattering to Mr. Ono Lennon. That's all I'm saying.
I have two Sean Lennon songs on my phone playlist, and they are both in this episode. So, like, I'm not a huge Sean Lennon super fan, but I enjoy these two tracks. I will admit it. I'm a dork. And this was a point in my life when I was still, like, paying attention to new music, as opposed to now, where it's just like, if it's not in a Target ad, I don't know about it. Sorry, I'm old.
Yeah, no, me neither. Is it coming out of someone's car at the end of the block? Maybe I'll download it. Cool. Like, I stick the Shazam, like, Shazamming out my window all the time.
Yes.
Because I'm old and I don't know about things.
No, it's true. So that was, I in no way buy Kyle and Amanda as Sean Lennon fans either, by the way.
No.
But that was Two Fine Lovers that we started to hear there.
Mm-hmm.
Over to the hospital. Clip 25.
I have this recurring dream that my husband is blow-drying my hair, blow-drying it until it bursts into flames.
Sorry, your hour's up. It's my turn.
Excuse me.
Oh, come on. An hour's an hour. It's only fair. He'll see you tomorrow.
Peter.
Same time, okay?
Peter!
Shh, Doc. Come on.
I love that. It's like, come on, she's not credits cast. Get with the program.
Just, That was like a pretty juicy dream. I was like, oh, I'm interested. No, usually not, but all right. Dr. V is ineffectually annoyed, but Peter tells him about the breakthrough he thinks he just had. Amanda broke his heart in front of Kyle because she's hiding a page ripped out of the journal, probably all about her feelings for him. Dr. V is going to write Peter a prescription. Well, Peter appreciates it, but he has a better solution to his problem, and he leaves Dr. V alone in his office looking impotent. Back to the jazz club, where Sean is rocking out again. Sean Lennon, that is. This one's called Q. It's also on my phone. Mm-hmm. Away from the stage, Kyle tells Michael that Megan has taken a leave of absence, but that she left Michael a note, which Michael insensitively likens to the one he read just before Taylor's suicide attempt. It says here, Megan is going back home, and he remembers her saying she grew up in a trailer park in Napa Valley and declares that he's going to go track her down. And then Kyle turns around, and clip 26.
Hey, Ryan. I've been holding that in for 4 years.
Look, I thought we talked all of this out on the phone.
Yeah. Well, I figure now we're even. You want to hit me back? Go ahead.
Yeah. And then what? Fly back to New York? Damn.
The plaintiveness of that was very funny.
Damn.
I had a very Alex P. Keaton-y note to it. I don't know.
It did.
But then right. They are cool with each other because they are men, I guess, and hug. Kyle is sorry for all the trouble, but Ryan says it was a two-way street. Kyle wants to bring Ryan home to meet Amanda, the amazing woman who got Kyle to call Ryan. Speaking of whom, when she gets up to her apartment door, she sees it's open and hears someone moving around inside. She grabs her gun from a kitchen drawer, and Kyle and Ryan have just gotten into the courtyard when they hear a gunshot. And Kyle runs up calling her name, and when he gets up there and turns on the light, we see that the person she shot was Peter! Da, da, da. And that's where we leave things for now. R.I.P. Matt. Let's close things up by naming our episode MVP.
Michael.
Definitely Michael's choreographer. I agree with that 100%.
Yep.
Michael's still kind of a scumbag, but I was not mad at that flashback. Mm-mm. Good call. Least valuable player. Jamie Lunar is really very bad. Like, having these characters leave and making more room for her to do things is bad for the show.
It is, especially since she's not, I mean, she thinks she's a convincing villain, but she is not convincing anything except redhead. She looks great.
She does. She does.
This is not a silent movie. Since you took Jamie Lunar, I'm going to go with Alex Bastian because, no, you have a ham for a head. Go back to the Boar's Head case and fucking leave us alone. Next time on Again With This, Michael finds out Megan's a rich horse girl who may also have been the sixth Partridge Kid. Ryan takes a break from talking shit about Taylor to act just like her. And when all the blood in Dr. Visconti's body has rushed to his Hippocratic Oath, Lexi finds out the truth about Amanda's kidnapping. You can find out the truth about the late 90s ubiquity of the thong underpant in our visual aids. There's a set of those picks and gifts for every ep of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. And why not join us on our Patreon for dozens and dozens of bonus episodes? And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about Tori and Jenny's podcast, 90210 OMG, instead of listening to it yourselves. Do not do that. Mm-mm. Do this. againwiththispodcast.com/club. Or head to Blue Sky and follow us there at Again With This. I'm Long Ranger Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is fabulous teammate Tari Ariano. She is on Blue Sky at Tari Ariano. And the truth is that the only good man is our producer, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
End of the line, psychos.
For every episode of the podcast, edit...